Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We are visiting with Kurt Gibson, Associate Executive Director of the IHSA, going to talk about several subjects today, including esports and bass fishing. Always like talking about that stuff. But first up, we're going to talk about high school basketball. I know January, a big month. This month, a big month, as Friday, we're talking with Kurt Gibson on a Monday morning, but Friday, the 10th of January, is the bid deadline for the host site for boys and girls basketball. So a big week for the IHSA.
It certainly is. Yeah, for the first full week in January, it's a big one.
Well, and tell us a little bit about the timeline. Now, this is a three-year contract. We know the potential for a new site, the boys' site currently at Peoria, the girls' site currently in the Bloomington Normal area at Redbird Arena, and then you have the format change to coincide with the new contract host site, which takes effect with the 2021 state basketball tournament. So tell us a little bit about kind of the timeline.
Well, yeah. So after Friday, we'll know which communities will have bid on those two events. And I would offer that just based on conversations we've had informally with folks from different communities over the past few months, we expect that the folks who are currently hosting the girls and boys tournaments will bid on those, and so we expect a bid from the Bloomington Normal community, a bid from the Peoria community, and then we expect a bid from Champaign as well. Now, what will be interesting is to see if any of those communities bid on just one gender or if they decide to bid on both of them, because with the change in our format beginning next season, we'll have just two weekends of basketball finals. And so it'll just be interesting to us to see if any of those communities are interested in staying involved for two weekends or if they're just going to be interested in bidding on one gender or the other.
Well, and then can you kind of elaborate a little bit for those people that may not have heard in terms of the format change that goes into effect then next year, 2021, you're going to play all four classes in boys basketball on the same weekend and all four classes of girls basketball on the same weekend in terms of the state championship series. And I know that the tournament will start on a Thursday and then end on a Saturday, and it's back-to-back weekend. So the girls' weekend is the one weekend, and then the very following weekend is the boys' weekend. So have, you know, third-place games, scheduling, all that format, has that been worked out yet, or is that still kind of a work in progress right now?
No, that's pretty well, that's been pretty well planned and shared with our schools. And, you know, that discussion really came out of some talks we had been having with our board of directors and schools over the past few years, and there was a real feeling that the tournament could use a little boost, and there was a feeling that maybe one of the reasons why we, you know, needed to look at doing something differently was trying to get basketball finished before the start of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. There was a feeling that the opening round of that, opening weekend of that tournament was taking some of our audience from our boys, big school 3A, 4A boys tournament. So our staff went in and did some internalizing and created what we'll call this new format that'll take over, as you said, next year. And the girls' state finals will end on the weekend we currently know now as the girls' 3A, 4A weekend. So that sort of first weekend in March kind of thing, and then the boys tournament will culminate with its state finals the weekend we know this year as the boys 1A 2A state final weekend, so primarily the second weekend in March. And you're right, games will be played on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, both of those weekends, and the projected format, or the format I should say, will be there will be six games played on Thursday, then six games on Friday. And on Thursday and Friday, we'll play semifinals and third-place games, both Thursday and Friday. And then Saturday will be a championship Saturday. And so we're really looking forward to that. It'll be four championship games back-to-back-to-back-to-back. And we think that'll be a nice culmination of what we hope are two really great weekends.
Yeah.
So those schedules are, yeah, those are finalized, and we're just waiting to see where we'll be playing those games.
Yeah, and then as far as the Saturday championship day, what time will the games start when you say they're back-to-back-to-back-to-back?
Mm-hmm. We're looking to start those in the later morning, and so the feeling is really we would just sort of keep the day rolling, much like we do with baseball and softball right now when we get to the state finals. I'm pulling out some information here while we're chatting, but it looks like we're anticipating that those state final games would begin at 11, so late morning. That'd be the first championship game, and then we would play that game, do awards, you know, clear the floor, bring out the teams, play the next game. There could be a slight break between the second championship game, so the 2A championship and the 3A championship. Really just depends how long those games run. If they run in a normal kind of fashion, then we'd look to start probably around 5:30 for the 3A championship game and then play the 4A game after that. But like I said, with the length of games and awards, sometimes the schedule just becomes a day where there's not really much of a break.
I know internally, as the IHSA has their conversations and they meet with the different advisory committees that are out there, you know, the one thing that I've heard from some people is, well, are they going to have enough officials when you're basically having the state tournament series, four classes, for example, for all the boys tournaments, so you have all four class regionals taking place at the same time, sectional, super sectional, and then state tournament. Is that an issue to be concerned about, or is there enough officials to basically have the state tournament series at the same time for all classes?
We believe there are. You know, we've looked at that, and we believe that we do have enough officials. While we're similar to other states in terms of, we wish we had more officials, we believe we have enough to handle the demands that those, you know, consecutive weeks where it's all really a little more condensed than it has been in years past to cover those games. In saying that, it will give, you know, it'll give some, I don't want to say younger, but some of our newer officials a chance to get their feet wet in the postseason, maybe a little earlier than they would have in our current system, and we don't think that's a bad thing at all.
And I think the other interesting thing here for me is, as I follow this story, you know, in past years it's always been a five-year tournament site contract, mm-hmm. and now it's a three-year contract for boys and girls basketball. Now, is there a reason to shorten it to 3 years? A benefit, I guess, of the IHSA and maybe the site host to kind of reevaluate this situation every 3 years.
That's exactly the case here. Knowing we've got this new format, and while we feel it's going to be well received, and you know we're going to be able to execute it without any problems, we also recognize, hey, let's go with a little shorter shorter length in terms of our agreement this time, just to see, because, you know, there's also going to be kinks. We just can't anticipate what they're going to be yet, but let's be able to work through those, and then if we really feel comfortable about this format after 3 years, then I'm sure we would look at going to a more extended time frame with our hosts.
All right, and then you said, we were talking off the air, probably the final decision for the 2021 state tournament sites will probably be made after the current state tournament series here in 2020 gets through.
Yeah, we'll take some time to review all the proposals. We'll likely do some site visits, and even if that means going back to places if the Bloomington community and Bloomington Normal community and Peoria communities put in some bids, which we expect, you know, we'll go do site visits and let them walk us through, you know, their proposals, and if Champaign makes a bid, we'll do the same down there. And so I don't know that we feel like we need to rush, you know, try to rush things through and get them done during basketball. So I think if we get our, you know, do our study, get our site visits taken care of, then we can, you know, sit down after March Madness and, you know, prepare a final report for our board of directors for them to then make a final decision in April. That sort of feels like where we want to go this time around.
And I know in past, I always hear the conversation or I hear from people, well, they need to host the 1A, 2A downstate and 3A, 4A. They need to host it in the Chicagoland area. But the way this is set up, it's, you got to bid on the 1A through 4A for both boys or girls. It's not a split situation.
Correct.
All right, well, let's transition to another great topic I always like to get updates on, and this is IHSA eSports. I know we've talked to you this several times. This is my beat. I always tell people it's the eSports beat. So what is the latest in regards to that? I know there's an advisory committee that's been meeting, and how close are we to maybe unveiling a state tournament series in eSports within the IHSA?
We're getting closer. You're right, we have an advisory committee that has formed, and they actually made a short report to our board of directors back at the board's December meeting, just giving them an update on the work they've done thus far, sharing some initial ideas from the committee's perspective about what a state tournament series could look like. And the board had some good questions for that group and gave them a little bit of homework to complete here in the winter time. And specifically, the board wanted to see and get a better sense of what a state series tournament would look like. So what that means is the committee's really going to dive in now here this winter to create terms and conditions like we have for all of our sports that really lay out the framework for how a tournament is going to be conducted. So they're going to be working on that. We're going to continue discussion with some game developers to make sure that when we get into, because it does seem it's more like when we get into having a state tournament series than if. We have from our schools sharing with us their participation in esports. We know that we've got enough schools participating in esports to be able to put on a viable event. So we've been talking with, we're talking with game developers to make sure that we're not infringing on any copyright issues if we use their game for part of our state series. So that's sort of going on behind the scenes while the advisory committee is trying to iron out all the details for what a state tournament series would look like. And we hope and expect that also in the spring, possibly as soon as April, then our board will, decide where we're going to be with esports, whether we are able to implement something next school year, so with the, I guess it would be the 20-21 school year, if it might be the next year after that. But like I said, it certainly seems like it's more which of those 2 years are we going to begin a program, not so much if anymore.
Yeah, so we're going to get a state tournament series at esports is what you're saying, that eventually it's coming.
That's what I'm feeling. Yep, that's what I'm saying.
All right. I know we've talked to you before. One of my other favorite beats is bass fishing, and I know one of the things that we've talked about here last couple of times is, hey, do we need to look at classification, and vis-a-vis, then do we have enough bodies of water to fish with multiple classifications? So what's the latest with the bass fishing state tournament series and any potential changes regarding that?
Well, you've sort of hit the nail on the head there with where we're at still. We continue to grow in terms of schools participating in bass fishing, and this year already we've got over 300 schools. We've got 305 schools that, as we speak today, have entered our state series for next year, and we still have another dozen that have entered in the past, haven't done so yet. They've still got a little time to do that. So, again, we're going to see in the end a growth of about, 4-5%, which we've seen consistently over the 12-plus years of bass fishing. So that's great. There's a lot of interest there. But we do have some issues with how many bodies of water do we have that can adequately hold these sectional tournaments. What we're going to do this year in trying to create a little bit of a, probably a stopgap to get us through the next couple years until we can figure out what makes the most sense for our next format, whether that means having regionals, sectionals, and then a state final, or reconfiguring how we do our sectional tournaments. That's still got to be answered down the road. But for this year, we've added three new sectionals, so we're going to have 25 sectional tournaments this year. Previously, we've grown from 18 when we began. Now we're up to 25. The top three boats in each sectional will advance, so our state final field will grow. But the good thing about Carlisle Lake is that it's a big enough body of water to handle what will likely be 9 more boats into our tournament. So we look forward to that. And then as we think down the road, one of the things the advisory committee looked at and talked a little bit about last year at their meeting, and they're going to continue that when they meet again, is, like I said, whether we go to a regional sectional state final format, or one of the ideas that they had, you know, we do have some really large bodies of water that can hold, you know, like right now with our sectional tournaments, we try to have approximately the same number of schools assigned to each one of those. But we have some bodies of water that are big enough that we could create these larger sectionals, maybe doubling the number of schools that are assigned to them than what we do currently, but have more boats qualify out of those. So we have, you know, a different number of boats qualifying out of various sectional tournaments based on the overall number of entries. And we think that, or at least the committee thought, that was one interesting idea that might be something to consider in the future. So instead of having 25 sectionals, maybe there's, and I'm just sort of spitballing here, maybe there's only 10 sectionals, and there's a varying number of boats that qualify out of each based on how many schools are assigned initially to that. So that's an idea that has some interest, at least at the committee level, and we'll have to see where that goes. But that's still a couple years down the road. And, of course, tied in with all of this is our contract with Carlisle Lake has 2 more years on it. Carlisle Lake hosts our state finals, like I mentioned. So we'll be in the process here at the beginning of next school year putting that tournament out to bid and begin finding out who has interest in holding that event, if anybody does, and then have to see where our board decides to move that to. Because if the board moves the event somewhere, you know, if that body of water maybe, which isn't going to likely be as large as Carlisle Lake, because Carlisle Lake's the biggest man-made lake in Illinois, can hold a lot of boats. If we went to a different site that could only hold a, you know, somewhat smaller field, then how we configure, you know, the sectionals to meet that number of boats that we think can reasonably fish in a new body of water, we have to take that into account. So there's a lot of dynamics, a lot of moving parts there, but we've at least got a short-term solution with the addition of 3 new sectionals for this year.
All right, awesome. And again, it's great to hear the growth of bass fishing. You know, it's 800-some-odd member schools in the IHSA, and now 305 entered in the Bass Fishing State Tournament Series. I think Enric's 11th or 12th year or something like that. All right, a lot to talk about always with Kurt Gibson. We appreciate the time. I know we'll check in again and probably talk basketball with you. And, of course, I love talking esports and bass fishing, too. And we wish you a happy new year. And I know we'll see you down the road, Mr. Kurt Gibson.
Thank you, Jim. And happy new year to you.
All right, Kurt Gibson with us on the IHSA and WRMJ and WRMJ.com.